Bob and Charlene Steinkamp, founders of Rejoice Marriage Ministries, invite you into their living room in Pompano Beach, Florida, for a telephone conference call. Let's join other men and women from across the land who are seeking God's restoration of their marriage.
Welcome to Rejoice Marriage Ministries telephone conference. We have not got the guests connected yet, but we're going to, and we're thrilled to have them, and we're thrilled to have you walk into our living room in hot South Florida right now, and we're just thrilled to have you. We have Beverly here praying, and we're interceding, and we just have a technical problem getting the guests connected to the telephone, but we're going to solve that in just a few minutes. Today, you are going to hear a restored couple share their testimony, which is very special to Bob and I. It is Sandra and Andy Andrews. They have been known for many years, having their testimony on tapes, CDs, and on our Stop Divorce radio. Sandra, we're thrilled to have you both with us. And let's open up with prayer, and then we'll get started. Lord, I just praise you and thank you for today. Thank you for everyone that is dialing in, coming into our Bible telephone conference today, and we are just so excited and thrilled. Lord, we know that every time we speak and we have people listening in, they're going to get hope and encouragement, not from us, but from you and from what you have done in so many people's lives. And Lord, normally we have maybe a male standard and a female standard, but today we're having a special couple that are sharing their restored marriage, and we get to talk to them and ask them questions, and it's going to be an awesome time. And Lord, we just thank you that this couple has been transparent as we have been in about what the Lord has done in their marriage. And Lord, we thank you that even though this testimony is different than the ones we've had on our telephone conference, we are praising the Lord that the men and women will open their spiritual eyes and ears and heart to hear the message and what the Lord can be telling us. And Lord, we just thank you for today. We thank you for what you're going to do and how many people are going to keep calling in. And if you hear this is something good and you want somebody else to call in, get on another phone and call them and tell them to call in and listen to their testimony, because I know they will be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me open up with Mark chapter 10, which I believe is very important today, because we want every standard to understand why we're standing, and why we're standing for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and health, till death do us part. I knew that I knew when I started standing during the very beginning of it, God was telling me that in the midst of anything that was going on, I was married for life, and I was to wait for my husband. And he even said, tell him if you're here till you're 80, you're going to still be here waiting. And that's what I have written about, is I'd be in my rocking chair. And this is a story about Sandra and Andy, but it's a story about Sandra at the beginning, that she got convicted, and we're going to find out about her standing. But I want us to open up with the Word of God first. In Mark chapter 1, it says, then Jesus then left that place and went into the region of Judea and across the Jordan. Again, crowds of people came to him, and was his custom, he taught them. Some Pharisees came and tested him by asking, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? What did Moses command you? He replied. Then he said, Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and to send her away. It was because your hearts were hard that Moses wrote you this law, Jesus replied. But at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate. When they were in the house, again the disciples asked Jesus about this, and he answered, anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another man, she commits adultery. Now, all you dear standards who read Charlene Keir, you know that Bob and I write about if Bob was planning a wedding, and they were planning on getting married, and I said to the Lord, what do I do now? And the Lord said, you are to wait forever. He can be married two or three times, and all those marriages are going to fail, because I've got you standing with me as a covenant. And so we are praising the Lord because this is a testimony of Sandra and Andy, where Sandra did have to wait and her husband did marry someone else. So we're going to get them on. And Andy, we're thrilled to have both of you on. Let me start out. How long were you married, Sandra, to begin with?
We were married 23 years.
And you, how many children did you have?
We have two.
Great. And we Andy, had two. When did you have marriage problems? When did you start thinking you needed to exit?
Oh, it's for me. That would be 1991.
And did Sandra have any ideas that you were not happy or that you had fallen for someone else?
No, I don't think so.
Sandra, how did he tell you he was leaving?
Well, one day he wanted to talk with me, and he told me that he was not very happy in the marriage, and he said, we really both have not been very happy in the marriage, and he said, I'd like to find happiness before I die, and you deserve to find someone that you love and loves you. And we had kind of grown apart, and we're arguing a lot, and so it was just all building up within probably 3 or 4 years. And so he felt like he needed to find happiness, and he wanted me to find someone that would love me the way I was wanting him to love me.
Right.
And that was kind of the beginning of it all.
Let me ask you, and I'm trying to get the story back and forth for all of both of you so everybody can hear both of you, is that were you both involved in church and Christians at that time?
Well, we had been involved with church all of our married life, except when we moved to another state for another job. We just really took our time and put off trying to find another church, and that's where the enemy got in.
Mm.
We were not going to church. We were not close to the Lord. We just didn't have God. We had God in our own hearts, our own relationship with the Lord, but God was not a part of our marriage. And we were out there for Satan to pick us off. We look back now and see that was the case.
You
and
know,
we played into his schemes.
We talk about there's usually a crack somewhere that we always, mm-hmm. all the Lord reveals to us where the
yes.
enemy came in. And we
Absolutely.
Usually always find it. And we can close that crack. And in the future, we know to beware. And we can tell
yes.
others to beware of it also.
Absolutely.
But, well, we're thrilled to have both of you here. And, Sandra, how did you, when he left, when Andy left, mm-hmm. how did you, what brought you to standing? What did you do? How did you seek the Lord? How did you find him to speak to your heart? And how did you get, where did the Lord take you from when he walked out the door? How old were your children at that time?
Our children were just graduating from high school.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I immediately went to the Lord. I knew I could go to him. And I cried out to God. I cried out to Andy, please give us a second chance. Give us a second chance. And I believe the first way I heard God was one of our daughters had who did not know at the time what Andy had asked of me, a divorce. She told me about a sermon that our pastor had recently given, and it was around Christmas time, but she said, Mom, it wasn't like a Christmas sermon. He talked about marriage and how God gives second chances.
Mm.
And when I heard that, I knew that Jesus was speaking to me. And faith, God says that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And when I heard that, a faith entered my heart. And soon after that, I was reading Psalm 29. And Psalm 29 talks about what the voice of the Lord does. And it says, the voice of the Lord echoes above the sea. It thunders over the mighty sea. It is so powerful. It breaks and shatters the cedars of Lebanon. It makes the Lebanon's mountains skip like calves. The Lord's voice strikes with lightning bolts. It makes the desert quake. It twists the mighty oaks and the forest bare. And when I read that, I said, God, if you can do that just with your voice, then surely you can heal my marriage. And I really believe that that is when faith, God planted faith in my heart, that not only would he, could he, but he would. And that started the journey.
And your journey, I'm going to bring it up at the beginning so these people can... No, it wasn't a short journey. How long did you, were you separated, divorced, before your husband came back home?
Almost 11 years.
Right. Now, dear Standers, I don't want you to panic when you hear that, because we have a lot of longer Standers that we know so well. They're strong Standers. They're strong partners with our ministry. And they are grown in the Lord and are mighty women and men of faith, pillars of faith. And I don't want you to let that hinder your thinking, I can't do that long. Because I know Sandra is going to tell you, she probably would have not thought she could do it that long. But time is not the enemy. And we want you to understand that. Bob and I talk about it. And I want to interject a scripture right now that the Lord gave me today that he wanted me to share, that I'm sure many of you already know about it, but I want to jump in right now, because if you read the Bible and if you know the Bible well, you will know that Abraham and Sarah, there was Zechariah and Elizabeth, there was Joseph. There are many, many. Noah, you can talk about any mighty men and women of God, Moses, that they went through trials and tribulations of long times. There was not a quick, they did not have quick assignments. But it says in 2 Peter chapter 3, and you can look it up or write it down and look it up later. But in verse 8 it says, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So, Sandra, you started standing, and Andy, where were you? What was happening with you in your life when she had the Lord start speaking to her?
I was still back east. I was off on a great adventure. I'd completely walked away from the marriage by now. And I had the other woman in my life move out and join me.
And let me ask you, did you start to feel that, you know, the Holy Spirit starts speaking to you throughout your stand, throughout your prodigal country? Bob said he always kept feeling the Lord calling him at many different times. And I know that Standers want, we tell them, pray that God speaks to their spouse loudly, and we pray scriptures and everything. Did you have those incidents and those experiences where you felt the Lord was speaking to you, but you were just saying, no, Lord, not now?
Yeah, very much so. They popped up right even from the get-go, because my professional colleagues, people I worked with, when their spouses found out what I had done, suddenly my credibility and my social demand was very much negative. And that started right from that, and everything went down from there, and I just didn't get anywhere. And then as I went along in my career and my profession and kept on working and time was passing, There were little promptings, little things like that would come up. What I said yesterday that would have been right was uncredible today when I said it. Same thing. So, and I started to, you know, think and listen. And yes, there was the Holy Spirit there saying, "Are you sure you want to go through with this?" In so many words,
mm-hmm.
or such an impression.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to have, you know, like, what have I gotten myself into? Oh, but it's so great, so I'm just going to ignore it and run.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where we standers and where, you know, Bob has shared his testimony, as you have yours in, on our teaching, is that God never leaves you alone. He keeps coming back and keeps talking to you. He's not going to abandon
too.
It. And it gets louder. Praise the Lord. I like
that.
Yeah,
I mean, and I say that emphatically, not so much that it's audible, but it's in your circumstances. You lose the covering, your blessing. Well, in the first place, I belong to the Lord, so he was chasing me,
mm-hmm.
and he was raising his voice, as it were.
And Sandra, where were you? What was happening with your life? You had the Lord encourage you with a sermon, but how did you grow in the Lord, and how did you start? Did you ever tell Andy you were going to wait and not give up on him?
Yes, I did. In fact, the night before we departed, or he put me on a plane to come back to where we originally lived, he told me, he said, Sandra, he said he had to walk down this road. But then he said he knew that God would be with him. And I remember telling him that I said, okay. He was like a freight train that I couldn't stop. I pleaded. I was on my knees begging him, please don't do this. But nothing that I said made a difference. And all I can say, it was he was like a freight train with no brakes. And he said, I just have to go down this road. I have to find happiness. And I remember telling him that, okay, but when you get to the end of the road, I will be there.
Mm.
And I really believe, looking back, that that was prophetic.
Amen.
I felt like it was like God in the prodigal son story. The father was standing and waiting. He didn't run after and make the life of his son easier. But he prayed, and he strained his eyes for the glimpse of his son coming back. And that was my heart.
Mm. Well, how did the Lord take you on your spiritual journey, Sandra? How did he get you there?
So many ways. Mostly the Word of God. I devoured the Word of God. I worshipped. Someone told me, worship the Lord. And I just was at almost every church service in the anointing, worshiping the Lord. And I just felt it was almost like an oasis, like a shot of Novocaine when I would enter into the presence of the Lord in worship. So worship and the Word, praying the Word of God. So many times when I would read the Word, in my Bible, I have dates. And then, for an example, Proverbs 14:1, it says, a wise woman builds her house, a foolish woman tears hers down with her own hands. And I've written in my Bible, I tore my house down, but God is building it back up on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. And so I just stayed close to the Lord and prayed the Word back to God, and just trusted that God's Word was true. And I just, especially reading the Old Testament, you really get to know the character of God. And I got to know His character and believe that I could trust Him with our marriage, with my life, with Him. That's what I did, along with a lot of people praying for us and just supporting us in prayer. So God was very encouraging to me. I would need his encouragement, as you know, as the standers know. Many times if he came and encouraged me with a scripture, and then I would think, okay, I'm good for a long time now, this is great. But the next day would come and the enemy would come with tormenting thoughts, and I would need God again. So over and over and over I ran to him, even to the point of writing out scriptures on adding machine tape and taping those scriptures up on my bedroom wall, on my ceiling, around the walls, scriptures that meant so much to me. And so the mornings that I felt like I couldn't get out of bed, that I just was so depressed, I could just open my eyes and look at my wall, look at my ceiling, and read
the scriptures. Now, that's fanatic, Sandra, but that's the way you have to make
it. I was desperate.
You were desperate.
I was desperate and knew, I knew that I couldn't get it in alcohol. I could not, this would not be remedied by another man, drinking, taking drugs. I wanted to go with Jesus all the way and prove that he was enough.
And he's able.
And he is able.
He is able. I have to tell you, this very day, I still have your pink card where you guys got remarried and you gave your story, and you have your little license plate that says Washington, April 2004, which is when you and Andy got remarried. And I've got to get him married to someone else in a minute, but you have He is Able, and you have it on a license plate. And you know, standards, how we say God always speaks to us in different signs and different ways and speaks to us, and how God spoke to me in different ways and still speaks to me in different ways. And he does, I'm sure, to Sandra and Andy right now, but he spoke to Sandra, and she's going to tell you, He is Able. And that is what she sent when you sent out your invitations, is it not?
Yes, yes. We had that put, the Washington State license plate, on a magnet in small size with He is Able. And I heard that on the radio one morning when I was going to work, a pastor saying, talking about marriages, and he said, He is Able. And it was like the Holy Spirit whispered to me, put that on a personalized license plate. And I argued with him. I said, well, it's too many letters. It won't fit. And I wrote them out as I was driving and counted them, exactly 7. I said, okay, I will do that. I will obey you. And I pray, God, that you would cause people who need to know that you are able to be behind me to read that license plate to encourage them. And that's been the case through the years.
Well, you know, He is Able is so important for Bob and I, and we say it, nothing is impossible with God, but we limit what God can do. We limit what His plan is in each of our lives, and we have got to know how God is, how mighty He is, and who He is, His character, His names, and His attributes. And that's what I've been teaching in our ABCs of marriage restoration. I said this is going to be a teaching with learning the details, learning the nitty-gritty, because if you're going to stand, you've got to know who God is. And sometimes we forget who He is, and we allow the circumstances to overwhelm us into the point that we're ready to give up, and our standards write us and say, it's too hard, I'm not going to do it. And Andy, what was some of your circumstances that you were throwing at your wife and the circumstances were coming at you? When you had the circumstances of things not going well, did you ever think of turning to the Lord to get back on track with Him?
No, I really didn't. I was actually running in the opposite direction, because I didn't want. I knew what he was going to say to me, and I didn't want to hear it.
You knew what God's will was.
I knew what the right thing to do was, but I didn't want to hear that because that wouldn't have felt good.
So you got divorced, but I need to get you married to the other woman. How did that happen?
Just as soon as the divorce proceedings went through with Sandra, it was in very short order after that that I married the other woman.
Was it in a church, or was it, well, how did you
do it? No, it was actually in the Virgin Islands by a magistrate in a U.S. possession.
Okay. Now, you, dear Sanders, you hear in us talk and pray against the non-covenant marriages, because we know, and every one of you often hear of other people, or it's happened to you, that your spouse says the other person wants me to marry them, or we're planning on getting married, or, you know, this is part of when a divorce comes, they often want, the other person wants it legal and get married. But we feel that as we're one flesh, with God standing as a witness and the other stander, you've got a majority. And Sandra felt, as I felt, that God told me I was married till death do us part. And regardless of what my husband was doing at that time, how wrong he was, we realized that he had been deceived and blinded, as both of our spouses were Christians, and they had just been taken captive. And that is where the scripture God gave me in 2 Timothy 2:22, it is that Bob would flee the evil desires of his youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And I knew at that time Bob's heart had become very hardened and was going the wrong direction. But in 26 it says that, and I'll go back to verse 25, those who oppose him he must gently instruct in hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will. And the Lord took me immediately to Luke 15, that I was to be the father, the prodigal, and pray for the prodigal spouse. You know, my husband had just taken half of his stuff and was squandering it, and was just having a party and not worrying about money, and I was living on a shoestring. And as you said, you really learn to turn to the Lord to provide all of your needs. Andy, you got married, and did you get any more peace after the marriage?
No. Not really. It was,
God didn't disappear.
It was simply a formality to kind of legalize everything.
So hopefully that you would not feel so much guilt and shame.
Yeah, it was a vestige of legality, of propriety, if you will. It allowed my second wife now to get on to things like company medical plans and so forth and so
mm-hmm.
on.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a properness,
right,
if you will, but it certainly wasn't condoned or done in any church setting.
Well, we right now unfortunately have our pastors who have not stood up, and they're getting there, and our pastors from 20 years ago or 15 years ago, I think, are coming back and saying, wait a minute, we can pray for these prodigals and we can pray for marriage restoration. I think their churches, there are many, many pastors and men of God doing that. But we still have, where my dream is, for Sandra and Andy, as you, I'm sure, do, is that when they say, I want to get married, we would love to say, the pastor to say, where's your first spouse? And what are they doing? And if they would only say, well, they're thinking I'm coming home and they're praying for them to come home, that they would realize this is a man that's a prodigal or a woman that's a prodigal, and we would have them open up the Word of God and say, you know, maybe we should not marry this couple and pray God's blessings on it. So that's our dream. That's our prayer, that all the men of God would do that. And Sandra, your pastor at that time was not 150% behind you at that moment.
Well, he was behind me through it all, except when Andy remarried, he did question it, and he asked me. He said, "Sandra, you know, I don't pretend to know it all." He said, "Would you write down some bullet points and explain to me why you believe that you do like you do?" And he said, "You know," he said, "I'm with you if you decide to walk away. I'm with you if you decide to stay." And so I did write bullet points down for him and gave them to him. And then he and another pastor married us. And I remember in the ceremony, he said, talked about covenant, and he said how important God's covenant means. And he says, "Have you noticed?" Looking at Andy and I. So I just really, really thank our pastor for standing with us and not writing us off, but even when he didn't really understand and maybe shook his head when Andy got remarried and I continued to stand, he gave me an opportunity to share with him just why I felt like what I was doing was God's leading.
Had God given you special scriptures that were special to you that you knew that God wanted you to do that?
As far as
reading after he remarried?
Yes. This was very precious to me because before I knew Andy had remarried, I remember a conversation I had with God, and I remember where I was. And I said, "God," I was hurting so bad. I said, "God, if Andy remarries, I'm out of here. He's yours. That's it. I'm out of here." I just wanted to get out of the pain. But I'm glad I had that conversation with God, because I knew when God came to me three different times in one weekend before I knew Andy had remarried, and it was like he put an exclamation mark on what he had already spoken to me, that our marriage would, that he would restore our marriage. And I thought, what is down the road that I will need such a strong conviction, stronger than I have now? And just a few weeks later, I would learn that Andy had indeed remarried. But I look back on that conversation I had with the Lord that one day, and I knew, I'm glad I had it, because I knew that in myself I was not what people might think, a desperate woman trying to hang on or in denial. I knew my heart then, and it was only because the Lord spoke to me again, and I needed him to speak to me again to continue to stand after Andy remarried. The first words out of my mouth when my daughter told me was, "We're just going to pray harder for Dad." Mm. I know that God is going to still bring him back.
Now,
the
your
faith
daughter
was there.
Standing with you and praying with you?
Both our daughters were standing and praying with us. Both of our son-in-laws were standing and praying with
you
us.
You were blessed. You were very, very blessed.
Yes.
And the important part that I think you're saying, and that we cannot emphasize enough in our ministry to teach and to say, is God does speak.
Yes.
And he does speak to us individually.
Yes.
And he speaks to us often with a thought, or he often will speak to you, especially as you read the Word of God. A scripture will just leap off the page, or just mm-hmm. it will just be very special mm-hmm. for you. It will just come mm-hmm. alive to you.
Mm-hmm.
And, dear Standard, that is what Sandra and I are trying to say. neither one of us could have made it on our spiritual journey without it. And there is a process of restoration, and we are going to be on a journey the rest of our life with ups and downs regarding business, health, or whatever it may be, with even our children or whatever. And we have to be able to go to the Lord and never just think, well, I don't need this real intense, close relationship with my Lord only while I have a crisis. You need a personal, one-on-one relationship with your Lord daily, forever.
Yes.
And Andy, do you agree with that?
I absolutely agree with that.
Where are you now? I know that I've got to get you. I got to get you. Maybe you can say, how did you get back home? Tell us what drove you and even brought you back to thinking about restoration. But God didn't even, maybe, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you came back home, were you even thinking restoration? You ended up having, how long were you married to the other person?
Oh, I think 9 years. 9 years.
So God spoke to you a long time, and you kept saying no. And
yeah, he
did
kept
not
getting louder,
success.
And I kept being more stubborn, and he broke me down all the way. My career was in ruins. Couldn't get a job. Everything failed. Everything I touched was very, very unblessed.
Okay.
And it caused my personal life to just deteriorate because I couldn't earn a living. I couldn't enjoy the flamboyant lifestyle that we had been accustomed to.
Mm-hmm.
And so things were so depressing. I'm not a person who gets depressed, but I was getting to the point of depression.
Mm.
Very serious. It's a black hole. I never experienced anything before or since. I just got to the point where I can't go on like this. Could have been an alcoholic very easily. But I just
But
kept
you did not find
Lord.
Your happiness that you were looking for when you left Sandra.
No. As the blessings left, as my lifestyle and my so-called happy life crumbled, I began to see the real relationship that I had with this other woman was not based on a fundamental Christian commitment to one another. It was, it's more of a good times and we're going to have a great lifestyle and so on and so forth. Well, when that crumbled and went away, some of the truth began to shine, and it was not pretty.
Charlene, I'm back with you now.
Oh, well, we're thrilled to have you, darling.
My heart started beating again. We had over 100 people call in all at once, and that kind of taxes things. So anyway, God got the glory. Beverly was praying, and so I'm sure we're there. Andy, hello to you.
Hi, Bob.
I've never talked to you in person. We've exchanged email, and I've heard your voice many times on the tape. And hello to you too, Sandra.
Hi, Bob.
I want to jump way out of line in your story, way ahead, and ask you, Andy, in rough terms, how long did it take you to, quote, get over, quote, the other person?
I think I was actually over the other person before I actually physically left. And it's certainly within the first 6 months of the time I vacated the premises, as it were, and started heading back west. I was done and completely over that person. It was very clear that the relationship was not based on the kind of things that really count.
Well,
I had no money to contribute, and I had no flamboyant job and lifestyle anymore, and there was just an emptiness.
other standards who come back and instantly they're not over through this grief process, and the person who's been standing for them say, I can't take it. He still thinks about her once in a while, or she still thinks about him, so I'm out of here again. So you're very blessed. But to me, like I said, about 2 years before I could really say that's and so wouldn't remind me of someone else.
I think the thing that, if I had to interject something here, when you're gone for that like 9-year period we were married in this second marriage, you actually form and embrace new relationships and friendships and inter-family things, like there was a granddaughter and things like that. You get emotionally involved. I was more emotionally involved with elements of the family than I was with my other wife.
You know what you've done? You've just given me the first ever good reason for a long stand. You know what I mean, honey?
Yeah.
Also, I think what your pastor had you guys go through as part of your reconciliation, that period of time, I don't want to tell your story like Charlene said, but I think also that helped your restoration also.
Yeah. Yes. They wanted us, they said, as a baby takes 9 months to be birthed, we want you to take 9 months and meet with one of our pastors. And in fact, Andy still meets with him 6 years later. They're still meeting almost every Thursday.
Wow, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Don't you wish more pastors?
I was just going to say, Andy, you are blessed.
Oh, yes, I am. This pastor, we had known when we first became Christians in the mid-70s. He was a brand new junior associate pastor at a church that we had recently joined, having just been new Christians, and he's about 10 years older than we are. But at that time, we got to know him and everything, and then time passed, and all of a sudden, I'm coming back in 2003, and here's our pastor who's willing to take me on. And by this time, I was a blubbering blob, pretty drained, pretty empty, beat down. I had nothing. I left this other marriage. I left, and I left fine house, fine car, bank accounts. I just completely left. When I left, all I had was a paid for pickup truck that I owned, and several personal effects that from Sandra and I that I carried right back to Sandra and I in the second life here. But that was about it.
You never let him go, did you?
No.
I mean, in order to make this as clean as possible, by this time, money didn't mean anything, fancy houses didn't mean anything, none of the materialistic stuff meant a thing by the time I was ready to step away from this ill-fated journey that I sinned and went on.
What brought you back home? Was it a specific thing that God did, or was it your children, or what do you think finally made you walk out the door and head?
The biggest impact were my two daughters. They would come and visit me. They stayed in contact with me, but they were very firm that they did not accept my lifestyle and status. And in point of fact, when I would come and visit them, or we would meet up with each other roughly twice a year, they saw a gradual deterioration that I wouldn't have been able to put my finger on. But they were very concerned about my physical health, my mental health, and so forth. Excuse me. That I was going downhill. And finally, my oldest daughter, my most conservative girl, she laid it out on the line. Dad, you're nuts staying where you're at. You better think twice. And then we had this miraculous thing happen where It's mentioned on our CD and tape. I don't want to go into it here. It's a fairly long story about meeting my 35-year-old son for the first time.
I wondered if you were going to even mention that today. I was going to say, because God did another miracle of restoration, did he?
And that was the frosting on the cake, the card, the domino that went first, that kind of thing. But the real thing was I had a family out here who was calling me back. Dad, get out of this situation you're in. Get out. And so I had a fallback, and when I was at my lowest point, I fell back finally. Being a very stubborn guy running from God, I like to think of it, I fell into his arms. All right.
Amen.
I give up.
Amen.
You win.
Amen.
It was basically that profound and yet that simple. You win.
But you did not go home to Sandra immediately.
No, I went to live with my brother in Colorado for 6 months before I completed moving all the way back west. But I needed that time just as kind of an interlude to just get my head clear. I was in pretty grim shape. I was, reflectively, I see all this later. Well, everybody back on the West Coast was cheering, of course.
Of course.
I was agonizing, as it were, and reflecting on what went wrong and, you know, how things fell apart the way they did, and really seeking God and trying to figure out, now, I fell into your arms. You win. Now, what have you won? Where am I?
Sandra at that time did not, and I know the story, you were not calling her up and saying, I'm coming home.
Oh, no. No, I wasn't. There was no pretense of trying to just come back and say, well, now I'm going to take you up on your offer, your standing and everything. No. There was none of that. I'm just going to run right back into her arms kind of thing. It was not that romantic thing, nothing at all in that vein of thought.
And that, dear Standers, what you've got to understand is we have all sorts of varieties of restoration of how they come home. But they often do not have exactly what Andy was. He was listening to his daughters and was being tugged by them and by common sense of him falling apart. But the gushy, the romance of Sandra was not there. And when Sandra was calling and emailing us and talking to us, I said, it's coming. It is coming. Hold on. God is bringing him home, and it's just going to be a process. Mm-hmm. And it is a process. And those are these, especially our Standers that we have come in the door, and they know they need to come in the door, but then they get tugged away, as Bob is just spoken, is that by that temptation of that other person that keeps calling them and drawing them and a million other things, and they don't know to do what you were doing, is seeking the Lord. A lot of them are come by emotion and not by just humbling themselves. And that is what Bob and I keep saying. One of the words, and I just taught about it in our Disc 5 of ABCs of Marriage Restoration, is repentance. We need to pray that all our prodigals of any age, be it your child or be it a parent or your husband or wife, pray that they repent and that they will confess their sins, repent, and turn their heart toward the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a must. Sooner or later, that's what we need, because that is rebuilding your home on the solid foundation of both of you coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ, both of you turning your hearts and lives to the Lord to rebuild your marriage. Now, you can do it with one person standing and the husband coming home, and like Bob said, he had a process. Bob had temptations and the false starts of, this isn't going to work, but you know, Andy, you didn't give her any false hope. You didn't give her any hope at all right at that moment.
No, I don't think I did. I came back pretty, I want to say void of any kind of romantic intentions for anybody anywhere. I was pretty drained. I mean, I loved my family and my daughters and all like that, but I had no romance in my heart, and I was so empty. And when you mentioned the word repentance, well, one of the first things I knew I had to do is when I got back here and I settled in and was living with one of my daughters, I went to church and I went down front and I asked that the pastor who had been Sandra's covering all these years, would he pray for me specifically because I'm drained and I have a repentant heart, and then would God take charge and fill me up and do with me as he will. And that kind of launched the 9-month start to when Sandra and I were remarried.
Mm-hmm. And Sandra, when he came back to his, went back to his brothers and then to your daughters, where are you with your emotions and mm-hmm. thoughts?
Well, I was up and down. It was so close, but yet so far away. But Andy never called me in those 6 months, and I just had to tell myself, this has to be through God's hands. I didn't want half-baked cookies. I wanted everything to be done. I told God, I said, I just had surrendered Andy totally to God. And as I saw Andy starting to come home, I started to get a little bit scared and nervous. And even though I wanted it so bad, I know I talked to you also. Was
yeah.
I ready, God? Was I ready? I didn't know how he would come home. I didn't know if he'd be in pornography. I didn't know if he'd be drinking. I didn't know in what state he was coming, and would I be a strong enough woman to walk the walk with him. And so I told God, I said, I only want Andy back in my life through your hand. I want you to have him in your hand and give him back to me. I do not want to manipulate him back to me in any way. Even to the point of one time when I saw Andy with one of the kids' birthdays, he was out, and I had put on a piece of clothing, and the Holy Spirit said, Sandra, I want you to take it off and put something else on. It's not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And I did. I obeyed him. I didn't want to. I wanted to wear what I wanted to wear. I was trying to impress Andy. But I knew I had to obey the Holy Spirit and do it his way. So I had to wait, and yet God was very encouraging to me with scriptures all through this 6-month period, and so he was faithful. He was faithful. He gave me Hosea 14, 4. And it was like God said, I will heal Andy of his idolatry and faithlessness, and my love for him will know no bounds, for my anger will be gone forever. I will be to him like a refreshing dew from heaven. It will blossom like a lily. He will send roots deep into the soil like the cedars in Lebanon. His branches will spread out like those of beautiful olive trees, as fragrant as the cedar forests of Lebanon. My people, Andy, will return again to the safety of his land. He will flourish like grain and blossom like grapevines. He will be as fragrant as the vines of Lebanon. God gave me that scripture for Andy.
And you know what? That is the exact same scripture the Lord gave me from Bob.
Oh.
Many, many. And you know what, Sandra? I never knew that was the scripture God gave you.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the exact same scripture the Lord gave me, I will heal their waywardness.
Yes.
And love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them.
Yes.
And that, and then on and on all the way to the end. And
yes.
It is a scripture that I kept, you know, it was just awesome for me when God gave that to me.
Mm-hmm.
And when Bob is writing a book and finishing up a book right now, he is, at the top of each one of his chapters, he has a scripture. And every one of the scriptures that he has at the top of his chapters of this new book is one of the scriptures that the Lord gave me when I was standing.
Mm.
And I look at it and I go, wow.
Wow.
25, 24 years later,
you
God.
You never told me that, huh?
Well, I haven't finished proofing it, so I haven't been able to tell you all what the Lord has been saying to my heart. But it is just like the word never returns void. And
no.
Sandra, you know how I believe that so strongly. God's
mm-hmm.
word will never return void.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob, you're using the scriptures that I prayed so many, many, many times.
And I did not copy them from anywhere, believe me.
Isn't that awesome?
They came from the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the total restoration process.
Mm-hmm.
And Andy, you got back home. How did you ask Sandra to get? How did you get back together? I got to get you married.
Yeah, that's kind of a cool story. When I came back, rather than I'm very down and very flat, and I think I told Sandra something to the effect I gave up gold for sawdust. Was kind of the way I reintroduced myself. And when we drove in moving from Colorado back here to Washington, drove in, well, there was this great big sign, every member of the family, and it was a very large picture full of people, was there to greet us and welcome home. Andy, welcome home. And there was Sandra, she stood with class all the time, and it was, without reproach, she was kind and gentle.
Andy, could I interrupt you and just amen that about my own wife?
Please.
We prodigals come home to women and men who are like that and waiting at home.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, totally undeserved, mind you. Absolutely undeserved. It's overwhelming. And, well, from there, naturally I was staying with one of my daughters at the time. Well, there was a great deal of now family interaction because my daughter had just had a brand new baby, less than a year old. I came back, and part of my job was to be a live-in babysitter, as it were. Well, Grammy, Sandra, she ended up, was already playing a very big role in the baby's life, and so we were together frequently, so we had a chance to chat and kind of get reacquainted. And meanwhile, I'm going to regular counseling, and it was pretty intense to start with. And I vowed and promised my pastor friend that you tell me what I'm to do, I'll do it. And I did, and I was doing it. And so I was making progress. I was certainly uplifted in my spirit. I mean, I was happy for the first time in several years. I mean, really happy, just genuinely, joyfully happy because of family and just a sense of peace. I'm out of, from underneath a really bad rock.
Mm-hmm.
The timbers have been lifted off of the fallen and caved mine, and I'm out. I escaped, and I was feeling genuinely very good. So we had genuinely good conversations, talks. And then one time, I think a couple times, we even went on picnics up to our Mount Rainier, which is in the nearby area. It was really great. And we were starting to date again, as it were, kind of. It's kind of hard to explain after you've been married to somebody, you're divorced, now you're coming back and dating them again. But that's what they were. They were nice dates.
And then when did you decide to get married, or how did you work that out?
Well, I'm not exactly sure. I said, with two daughters and a really great daughter-in-law with my new son that I was getting reacquainted with, all these ladies were guiding and directing and orchestrating my life. And you know what? I was glad to just lay back, bask, and show up. I don't know how any other way to really honestly put it, because I don't recall any of the details. It just kind of moved right along.
Praise the Lord. And
you know,
Sandra,
may I say something, just interject something? When Andy left, or he first told me that he wanted a divorce, he said, "Sandra, I don't love you anymore." He said, "My love for you is dead. I love you as the mother of our children, but my love for you is dead." And through the years, I would say to the Lord, "God, I know you want me to stand for this marriage, but God, he doesn't love me. I don't understand." But God gave Andy a brand new love for me, and gave me a brand new love for Andy, because without that, I could not have stood all those years. He gave me his vision for Andy and I, and a love to go with it. That's why
I prayed 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. For my husband with mine, and the Lord told me, pray that with you and your husband's name in it. Mm-hmm. And what one of the second books Bob wrote was, you know, with that as the outline for the whole Christmas book, and the 12 days of Christmas, ... And it, God's word, when you pray the word and you pray for God to resurrect and restore and to rekindle and reignite the love of God's love into the marriage to be better than it ever was, mm-hmm. it's going to take time, it's going to be a process, mm-hmm. and it doesn't happen instantly, even at the day you get remarried, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's you are a growing process for the rest of your life, don't you think, both?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, you don't just, step back into where you were before in any way, shape, or form. This is all brand new. It's a new growth. It's a new get to know one another. It's a new walk, because Sandra puts it this way: it's a three-strand cord. The three of us, God and Sandra and I, are interwoven here, and it's a process always.
Well, you know, there is, it also says, and I'd want every standard that's listening to this not to be discouraged or be defeated by the time that Andy and Sandra had to wait to get their marriage restored in the process of the rebuilding of the marriage. But it says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, it says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." And Sandra and her daughters did not give up. They didn't give up no matter what. And they even had, blessings with having a pastor, weekly meet with counsel and to mentor him. You know, you were blessed in having a mentor. And you know what? If that's what you want for your husband or wife, you know what? Pray for it. Say, "Lord, if it's your will, please send a mentor toward my spouse, that they would grow in the Lord and know what they need to do to come back home." But there's also another scripture, and I want to find it also, is that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And this is for you standards. If it's 1 week you've been standing, 1 year, 2 years, or 5 years, It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, and it says, "Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. I always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." And I think that's what Sandra and I can both say to you. When you are standing, and you've got to stand strong, you've got to get rooted in the Word of God. You've got to get rooted in standing that you know you've been given an assignment to stand and not give up on your spouse, for the sake of the children, the sake of the grandchildren, and for generations to come. We do not want the curse of divorce or alcohol or drugs or pornography or anything. We want them all to be severed and cut and destroyed by our Lord Jesus Christ's blood and the cross. And it can happen. It can happen, and it's going to be a process of bringing the prodigal home. Now, my husband came home suddenly, but he still had to go through the process of restoration. And Bob, I don't know if he's on again because Bob hangs up and works with the computer, but he went to a counselor, and the counselor said to him, "You cannot have any contact, any way, shape, or form with the other person for 6 months. And I want you not, no matter what, no birthdays, no anything." And Bob did that. And those 6 months, as he's written in Finding the Way Home, was the secret of what God said, look to me and not to that other person. And that may be what, you know, some of you have to go through. Sandra and Andy did it a different way. But still, you had to rebuild your marriage after you got married.
Yes.
Then you got a house and you rebuilt your house.
That's right. We restored a home.
Yeah.
One of the scripture, if I could add to the scripture that you just spoke of, Charlene, 1
yes.
Corinthians, Genesis 26 says, spoke to me. The Lord appeared to Isaac, and he said, "Do as I say. Do not go to Egypt. Do as I say, and stay here in this land. If you do, I will be with you and bless you. I will give you all this land to you and your descendants." And I wrote beside this scripture, "If I stay in my marriage, God will be with me and bless me. He will restore our marriage and family. He will do this because I listened and obeyed his requirements, commands, regulations, and laws." And that's what it spoke of in this scripture. Not to be legalistic, but just as God spoke and said, if you do as I say and stay here in this land, and the land was always my marriage, if you do, God says, I'll be with you and I'll bless you. And he has. He has blessed us so much, our family.
How long have you been remarried now?
It was
since the day after taxes in 2004.
Okay.
Six years.
Wow. Praise the Lord. And
yes.
God is so awesome.
Yes, he is.
And you now are, you're being blessed working with your, are you still working with your son now?
I am.
And that's a story that they only going to be able to hear in detail on your CD, because we can't go into it. But
all
it's
right.
An awesome restoration, is it not, Andy?
It is. It most certainly is. More miracles, again, those would be best listened to on the CD. There are several mentioned miracles among many more.
Yeah, like Paul Harvey says, now this is the, or now here's the rest of the story.
And, yeah, rest of the story.
Well, we just love having you on, and
thank you.
It is a blessing to hear how a marriage that was so dead and so hopeless in the world's eyes. Sandra, I can remember talking to you so many times, and you were the one that used to pass out Charlene Cares. Tell that little story.
Well, I still do pass out Charlene Cares.
Oh, do you?
Andy, from time to time, Andy's brought them home. We don't have a computer yet at our home. If somebody talked to me about their marriage, I think you sent me a lot of them, and I would keep the faxes. I used to get faxes of Charlene Cares before computers.
That's right.
Yes, and I would save all those, and I would just, whoever needed to hear about marriage restorations, I would give them a handful, and everything that you sent me, I had in a drawer, and I had my own little Bob and Charlene store, and I was able to go and just to give out encouragement.
You were being a lighthouse. You were being a witness, and the Lord was using you mightily. And then he got to be able to show and give the end result of showing your marriage being restored and saying, here, it does work, regardless of the time involved.
Yes, and I remember, I think it's important to say this, that we as standards can sometimes think we are the good one. You know, our husbands or our wives are out doing wrong, and we are the righteous ones. But God spoke to me one day, and he said, Sandra, he said, I'm the one. Mm-hmm. I'm the one that put this in your heart, and I'm the one that's giving you the strength and the perseverance to stand for your marriage. I'm the one that's encouraging you. I'm the one that birthed this in your heart. So don't get heady and think that you are the good one here. He said, this is from me, and I'm working on both of you. So that humbled me very quickly and put me in my place.
Well, I agree with you. And only by the grace of God that you or I or any standard can do this. It is
Absolutely.
Not anything we do. It is what
No.
the Lord empowers us to do through the power of the Holy Spirit. Without
Yes.
the Holy Spirit helping us every day, none of us would make it.
That's right.
But let me close with one scripture, and I'm just going to ask you each to say a closing, and we're going to pray. In 1 Corinthians 16, dear standards, it says, verse 13, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be strong, and do everything in love. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's my challenge for all of you today, is to be on guard. Be on guard that the enemy is going to try to get you to quit standing due to the time period, due to the circumstances or whatever is going on. But stand firm. Stand firm in the faith and believe in the power of your awesome God that we serve. Our Lord Jesus Christ paid the price, and he left us a counselor that is far greater. And don't ever doubt what God can do. You know, Ephesians 3:20 says it's so awesome, and you just need to get into the Word of God, as Sandra says. She had scriptures everywhere. And if that's what you have to do, that's what I had to do, then it's okay. Because now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Andy, what do you want to say to these standards that are feeling like their circumstances are impossible? What would you say? You've got a prodigal to a standard. What would you say to them?
Well, you kind of mentioned it, prayer. Every time a stander is praying, God is answering that prayer by talking to the prodigal. And as I testified to you, he gets louder and louder as time goes on or as circumstances demand. It got to the point where it was like an overwhelming shout. Those prayers avail much. There's some more on our CD that talks about that, but their prayer is the one strong weapon that you can call on God to intercede. And believe me, those prayers that you're praying and crying into a seeming emptiness, I think God hears, because I got the reception. I got the pass-through magnified. So I would say to all you standers, your prayers are heard when you earnestly seek the Lord.
Amen. Sandra?
I would say to the standards, stay close to God. Read the Word. Pray the Word. Surrender your spouse to the Lord. And surrender yourself again to the Lord. Let your faith be in God, not your spouse. Take your spouse. I had to do this. It took me a couple, 3 years. But Andy was the idol on my heart. And I had to total surrender Andy to God, totally surrender him to God, and just say, God, he's yours. And whatever, you know, you have for me, I am yours. And I know you will be faithful to me. It's God that gives us the strength. And to have this as a time, a season of saying, God, what do you have for me? God allowed me to go on 4 mission trips. My pastor gave me great advice years ago. He said, Sandra, he said, don't just sit and do nothing. He said, I want you to open your life up to God. What can God use you? Be a coin in God's pocket to spend however he chooses. And so I prayed that with my pastor, and God sure opened up the door, and I got to do things I never dreamt I would do. So don't waste this time. Don't just sit and pine away, but use this time. Say, God, here I am, send me, and God will take you up on it. And leave your spouse with the Lord. He loves your spouse much more than you do, than I do. And just keep close to the Lord. And he will bring it about in his own timing and his own way. It's a daily walk. It's not easy. It's a daily walk. But as my pastor told me, he said, Sandra, one of these days you're going to have huge spiritual muscles. Mm-hmm. And one day you will look back and say, this was worth it. And I can say that today.
Amen. Amen. Well, you both have been a testimony to so many other people. And every time anyone says, my spouse is going to get married, is planning a marriage, we say, we've got a CD for you to listen to. And you have given many people hope and encouragement that nothing is impossible with the Lord.
Let me just mention, honey, that before you go into prayer.
Okay.
We're not trying to sell CDs today. This was not talked about ahead of time, but we do have Sandra and Andy's CD available in our bookstore, and that's stopdivorce.org, and you'll see it listed under CDs. I think the tapes are all...
They're gone.
They're gone, that's what I thought, but we do have it in CD. Also, I want to mention to you, may I, Charlene?
Yes.
Okay. We had a good response today, and we make these calls toll-free for anyone who wants to call, because some standards cannot afford even the phone call for 90 minutes. So the ministry pays for these, but it does get expensive. We pay not only long-distance charges, but that includes bridging charges to connect us all together, to keep it amplified and everything else. So if you're in a position or you feel led to contribute a few dollars toward the cost of the monthly calls, we would appreciate that. And you can also give that from stopdivorce.org.
The Lord has always provided, and he still provides for
this
ministry.
Usually he provides before the call.
Yes, he does.
That's
yes,
why
he
I get
does.
A little jumpy sometimes.
Yes.
that's still my test of faith I'm working on. So.
Oh, you have a little faith. God keeps working on
you. I've confessed to it before at the end of the month, so that's all right.
Sandra, Andy, we love you guys. We love your testimony.
Now you need to let them go eat lunch also.
They're in Washington, and they're a long ways away, and they went from church to here, so we just love them to death, what they did today. What we want to do is we want to close with us praying, and each one pray as you feel led, but Andy, pray for the prodigals, and Sandra, pray for the standards. You know what they're going through, and Sandra, I'll let you start, and then you go on as you lead.
Father, I just come to you. I thank you that your word says that we can boldly come before your throne room to receive grace and help in time of need. And Father, I lift up each standard to you, God. Father, you see where they are. You see their hearts. You see the deep desires in their hearts, God. And you love them so much, God. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would encourage each stander. I pray that you would cause, as they read the Word, God, that you would speak to them specifically. Cause those words to just light off the page and be like a branding iron that goes into their hearts, God, where they will know that you have spoken to them. God, your Word is like a lung. It's living and breathing. It's alive. There's nothing else like your Word, God. So I pray, Jesus, that you would draw every stander closer to your Word, closer in a relationship with you, Jesus Christ. I pray, your Word says that you give your people strength. I pray that you would give each stander your strength. I thank you, God, that it is a privilege to be a stander. It means that you are entrusting us, God. You trust us, God, to obey you, to walk this road, to walk the high road, God. And you will reward faithfulness, God. You never fail, Jesus. I pray your peace to cover every stander. I pray that you would give each stander, whenever they need it, fresh hope, God. Whether it be through your Word, whether it be through someone saying something to them, whether it be through a license plate, however you choose to speak to them, I pray you would open their ears and open their hearts to hear your voice, God. Keep them close to you, Lord. I bless them, and I just pray the blood of Jesus over every one of these marriages, over every one of these standers, their spouses and their families, that every marriage would be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ and would be restored for the glory of God. It's not just about us. It's about generations after generations that will come that will make a difference because of what we standards have chosen to do. Thank you, Father. I pray your blessing on each one. In Jesus' name, amen.
Heavenly Father, I call on you to please hear the words of the standard's prayer, and Lord, pass those words on to that prodigal out there. Individually, keep the pressure on. But I would ask one more thing, Lord, as you're talking to the prodigal and getting them to hear your voice, I would ask you please also give a little feedback to the standard that your words are being passed through and you're giving them, they're getting feedback. And for the Lord, for the prodigal out there, don't ever give up, Lord. Hear my prayer. I heard yours and I was so stubborn. Lord, there's stubbornness going on out there, and the biggest sin of all is selfishness, Lord. So I pray, Lord, that you would continue to speak into the lives of prodigals everywhere, and that you would convict and show light to the selfishness that's going on into their lives, and that you would encourage them by talking to them through all the forms that you use to open their eyes and see the truth, and then take a stand. Give them courage. Give them humble hearts and great courage to go back and face the music that they've earned, Lord. But uplift and hold on to the prodigal, Lord. Don't dangle them out there as a joke. Bring them back in great humility, Lord, and restore these families that are crying out to you. Is my sincere prayer today, Heavenly Father. Thank you in Jesus' name.
Oh, Lord, we just praise you and thank you. Thank you, Lord, for working out all the complications that we had today, but thank you for us to be able to still to share this testimony of a restored couple, even when Andy went on and married the other person. Sandra did not look at the circumstances and give up. Her children did not give up. They loved him unconditionally and kept praying and believing what the Lord had spoken to Sandra. thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the promises that are in the Word of God that we stand on, that we will not become weary, but in due season we will reap a harvest. And Lord, I just praise you and thank you for this couple. I pray that you would protect them from the evil one, for their speaking such boldness and such honesty and transparency today. We just praise you for that. Lord, we just praise you for their openness and not keeping it a secret, but being able to share with others what the Lord has done for their family. And not only for their family, but for their son and restoring that relationship. Lord, we just ask that you would just bless them mightily for their future. We also ask that you would use them to give the other people hope today. And Lord, let the time period not be a hindrance, but that nothing, no time is too long that God will not restore it as he did used years throughout the Bible in using years to bring miracles and restoration and so many different things. Lord, I pray that you will just touch all the prodigals to open the prodigals of any age, any size, any family member. And we have so many young adults, young teenagers and young adults who are rebelling because of their parents' divorce, who we're praying for now, that have become so many teens and young adults that we're praying for, in addition to their moms and dads, to open their eyes and turn them from the darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in the Lord. Oh, Lord, we just pray that this hour and a half and this time that we have spent sharing and proclaiming, that you will give hope and encouragement to people that have become weary. And we praise you and thank you that on our website, this is going to be on for months to come, this recording, because we keep every telephone conference, and it's going to be hope and encouragement. Lord, we just praise you and thank you for what you're going to do. Lord, we just ask that you will move mightily, mightily, Lord, in touching people's hearts and lives. In Jesus' name we pray.
If we can help you in any way, we invite you to visit the website of Rejoice Marriage Ministries at www.rejoiceministries.org. Thanks for joining us today as we proclaim that God heals hurting marriages.